CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scala Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scala, Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. And digital is the story. We quickly move through three aspects of digital. Televisions, yes. Banking, yes. And what you'd have to say right now is the digital world of your vehicle. Chris, a very good evening to you. We begin with TVs because we've discussed how there are smart TVs, especially in China, that are watching the watchers, iPhones or Android phones, watching them. However, we have a news item from the South China Morning Post, which is loosely connected to the Chinese Communist Party. Everything is in Hong Kong. Chinese television maker Skyworth has issued an apology after a consumer found that his set was quietly collecting a wide range of private data and sending it to a Beijing-based analytics company without his consent. Skyworth is chastised and apologized, but the word I'm keen on is quietly. Is that a polite way of saying that Skyworth was caught spying on its consumers? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. What's fascinating about the story, this third-party firm, a Beijing-based firm called Gozen Data, is being accused in what's a quasi-government controlled paper or website, stating that Gozen Data put this software to monitor users' actions and behaviors on these Skyworth TVs without knowledge. Now, it's a bit of a stretch to say that a firm based in Beijing could do anything at that scale without knowledge by PLA in the controlled environments that are there in China when it comes to anything over the web or anything from a surveillance side. So the real question comes twofold. One, why was it done? Two, why is it being openly discussed in China of a firm in Beijing doing this? It's a very curious thing.
In other words, why is the Chinese Communist Party chastising the Chinese Communist Party for activities that are related to the Chinese Communist Party's appetite for data? Yes, I agree with you. It's as if the right hand is chastising the right hand and they're all pretending the left hand doesn't exist. But it also extends to the U.S. You bring my attention to something I didn't know exists, Vizio, V-I-Z-I-O. I read from the report at slashdot.org. In Vizio's first public earnings report, the company revealed that in the first 3 months of 2021, profits from its platform business, the part that sells viewer data and advertising space via the SmartCast platform, was $38.4 million. This compares very favorably to the hardware gross profit of $48.2 million. So, smart TVs in China, smart TVs in America, they're monetizing the data they collect. That's a good thing. Do the consumers need to know about this, Chris? Do the consumers ask to know about it? Because after all, they are watching television.
The consumers certainly need to become more aware of it, and the consumer electronics business that Vizio is in to sell you that 75-inch television at Costco or Sam's Club for $599 seems to be a very, very appealing business. In reality, it's extremely brutal with very, very tight margins, but you're seeing these consumer electronics companies like Vizio pivot to say, in the future, it may not matter if we make any actual money off of the piece of equipment that we're selling, such that we retain the rights to track and sell user data, and that being the new profit center. So it begs the question in the future, will TVs or smartphones or cable set-top boxes or others be free because you are not the consumer, you are the product?
You are the product. It occurs to me, Chris, that this also would work for podcasts, wouldn't it? You have podcast downloads around the world. Our podcast together is very attractive all over the world. Who knows where it goes, but I can see the numbers. And you can extract data from that podcast about who's consuming and where, can't you? I mean, that's the same thing TV does.
You can, but within the limit of within the podcast, you know who's consuming and where. You're not reporting back or selling information of what other podcasts are they listening to, what other apps are they using, where were they, where did they go to, what was their travel during the day. It's how invasive many of these points can be of hoovering up every bit of data about you as a consumer that you may not consent to.
So it's not that the TV knows who you are. It's that the TV doesn't ask your permission to take control of all of your information, all of it, and then sell it to someone else or use it for someone else. Now, this continues with something I did not know existed at all, which was data collection in vehicles. I know that Tesla boasts about its wonderful screen, don't watch it while driving, please. However, I learned from an item Chris brought my attention to that Ford is now making a vehicle or plans to have vehicles that read, let me see if I get this right, Chris, they read these advertising signs as you pass them on the highway or in the city, and they know who you are, and if you come to a restaurant that features something that you're happy about, it tells you? Is that how the car has a dialogue between the advertisers and the driver?
So billboard advertising has been around for over 100 years within Western society. The kind of holy grail is to be able to say from that billboard when you're driving on your way to work, did you see that billboard ad for, let's say, Dunkin' Donuts? And did seeing that ad change your behavior and make you drive into that Dunkin' Donuts to get a coffee and a donut? The ability to close that loop of a viewer seeing it and taking action from it, and Ford being, let's say, the toll gate on that toll road to be able to help monetize that transaction is the interesting thing in these new Ford patents.
And Ford, the Ford vehicle can talk to you. It doesn't depend upon you watching the screen. It can say, oh, by the way, John, your coffee this morning was too hot to drink. Would you like one? It can do that theoretically?
It can. And what you're really seeing is the concept that if cars become more and more automated, smarter, where they're self-driving or giving you significant driving assist, are you then in an environment where you're watching an ad, watching a Netflix or Amazon stream in your car because the car is driving itself? You're simply there, but it's an interesting new market for advertisers to try to target you in transit.
Banking. I spoke with Alice Fullwood, the Wall Street correspondent for Economist magazine. There's a big feature in The Economist about the future of banking. Many exciting pieces, including digital currency and the launch in China, the prospective launch in Europe. But inside all of this was a concern about privacy, I learned. Banks promise privacy. That is why you hire a bank and trust a bank. It has your money, it has your assets, it has your net worth, your credit in the world. However, banks are in competition, as I understand it, Chris, they're in competition with other ways to pay, such as in Washington, with Alipay, you can wander into major Washington venues, never having to change currency because it's all based on the yuan. Now, that service doesn't provide the privacy that banks guarantee, and yet banks are in competition with those pay services. And as I learned from Alice, they haven't solved this, Chris. Do you think they can, or are banks going to have to be outside of the digital universe?
John, it's a very difficult proposition for banks because they're caught between the proverbial rock and hard place. Government saying to banks, you have to know your customers and be able to establish that identity to prevent things like money laundering and terrorist funding and other sorts of things. Yet consumers gravitating towards, in many cases, these virtual currencies like bitcoins or digital yuan because of the anonymity. Where that middle ground is unknown, but it's safe to say that governments have always had monopolies on currencies and on the ability to create war to defend those currencies. Therefore, from a governmental perspective, you're going to see an intersection or a clash between banks and governments to say who is able to see what for what purpose and reason. And the fear is that banks are going to end up on the short end of that stick.
This is the brave new world of data. Are we at the beginning of it, Chris? Is that why these things are converging? The car, the television, the bank? Because data is increasingly they're monetizing data and manufacturing what I have to say, the virtual world of the future.
I think it's safe to say, as was envisioned by Orwell in the book 1984, and then what has become real life with Patriot Act post 9/11, consumers have been saying they're willing to trade privacy for security, and in doing so, you have neither. A government ability to leverage a cell phone, to leverage all of your data electronically, gives them infinitely more power and reach. The question is, at what point consumers or citizens push back?
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, which is a global digital firm doing business around the world. He travels widely. And we're at the beginning of this digital universe, this virtual digital universe. Perhaps the pandemic plunged us in early, but we have a glimpse of the fact that you cannot be both private and secure and convenient. All three don't add up as of now. This is CBS Eye on the World, the Scala Report. I'm John Batchelor.